All right, I want to. I left off here. The humanist, was there a particular moment or reason that made you question religion? Nina Hartley. I clearly recall in second grade as I was standing in line to go into class, having the thought there is no God and it's all ridiculous. I never had any reason since then to seriously question that notion. The whole idea of religion seemed utterly alien to me, and religious people seemed silly whenever I saw them praying in public. In Berkeley, it wasn't hard to avoid religion as it wasn't really in the public square at that point, though there are plenty of churches and temples. My grandmother joined the Unitarian Church later in life in the social aspect, but as she said to the pastor when he came to visit her when she was sick, I like the Unitarians, it's almost like not going to church at all. The humanist, Richard Dawkins' Out campaign in quotations drew parallels between the difficulty atheists and homosexuals have in coming out. Did you ever have trouble acknowledging your atheism to others or yourself? If not, why? Before I explain, I want to say that the expressing of thoughts in this case has nothing to do with offending anybody necessarily. It has everything to do with people's temperaments and life experiences. And as for the word homosexuals, that's not using a derogatory term here. It's used to say some people are gay. That's all they're saying. But I want to say that people's thoughts like Nina Hartley's need to be exposed. And everything I say is about calling people in. It's never about calling people out. And so sometimes these dialogues need to be started, and I like to start dialogues that a lot of people find uncomfortable because it's so important. There's no reason why it should be kept quiet, because people can't build bridges and people can't cross over to each other out of love if we remain in perpetual silence. So Nina Hartley says, for me, it's been no problem. There are no God believers in my family, though all of my siblings, as well as my parents, follow a faith tradition. Two of my siblings are Orthodox or conservative Jews, keep kosher at home, but don't believe in God. I don't know a lot about the faith practice of my oldest brother, but I do know he's not a believer. I think I have a cousin by marriage who's a believer, the humanist. You're a self-described radical feminist. Please explain what a radical feminist is. Nina Hartley. I'm a feminist and some of my ideas are radical, but I'm not a radical feminist, which occupies its own subdivision of feminist thought. Those are the same ways that I feel, talking about me. Radical feminists, for all their bioviating and over-intellectualizing about it, really, really just don't like men, period. I feel that way too. Their philosophy boils down to men bad, women good. I feel that. I reject that notion categorically. Me too. Unfortunately, the men bad, women good meme has taken hold of the public consciousness, and people now think that feminists don't like sex or men, which is bunk. Bunk, in this case, is a four-letter word for the eight-letter word bullshit. I'm more a classical liberal feminist. Equal pay for equal work? Me too. On-site daycare? Me too. Single-payer health coverage? Me too. Equal opportunity through skills and aptitude instead of gender? Generous maternity and paternity leave and the like? I agree with all those points. I believe that men and women are both victimized by the patriarchal culture. I feel that. Just in different ways, by different means, for different reasons, and with different results. I feel those ways too. I'm well hated in radical feminist circles for the supposed harm I do to women and by the fact that I have sex on camera, both for and with men. I'm glad she embraces it. I would too. I no longer try to talk to them as I realize radical feminists are just another form of hate group. Yeah, I can see that. They really believe that women can't consent to any sexual encounter, and I categorically reject that. I'm with her on that. The humanists. The humanists. Some feminists have criticized pornography as an industry that subjects women to men's desires, while others, notably Nadine Strauss and yourself, have the opposite opinion. How do you respond to the feminists who criticize pornography? N.H. Nina Hartley. Nadine's book, Defending Pornography, Free Speech, Sex, and the Fight for Women's Rights, is brilliant, and I can't add to her argument. Neither can I. In essence, though, feminism means that I have choice in my life, autonomy. Yay! It's hard to imagine now, but 50 years ago, a woman couldn't get birth control. She was single, and even married women needed their husband's permission to get it. That is fucked up as bullshit. That is a high degree of shittiness to me. Back alley abortions kill or maim thousands of women each year. That's just depressing. It was nearly impossible to bring abuse charges against the husband or wife. That's more depression. Younger people don't realize how bad it was or how recent. It horrifies me, actually. Feminists of the 1960s and 1970s really busted the door wide open. We're still sorting it all out. Ah, good news at last. We take for granted now that spousal abuse is a crime, but it wasn't like that then. That terrifies me. Women also fought hard for the right to be sexual Women also fought hard for the right to be sexual on our own terms. That puts a genuine smile on my face because I still fight hard for the right to be sexual on my own terms, too. Let me go back to Nina's point. Women also fought hard for the right to be sexual on our own terms, having sex before marriage. I'm pro having sex before marriage. Not becoming mothers if we didn't want to. I am pro not becoming mothers if people don't want to. I really made a lot of headway in raising consciousness surrounding rape, which is now taken seriously. I thumbs up that. A woman's sexual history can no longer be used against her in court, which faces her attacker. I approve of that. In a nutshell, my body, my rules. I feel the same way about my own flesh. Other women don't get to tell me what's quote-unquote right for me. I feel that way about myself. Just as no imam, rabbi, priest, or minister gets to tell me what to do with my body, that's the same psychology I have towards my own physical frame. You don't know better than I do what I need, so don't presume to. We share the same attitude. If I need your help, I'll ask for it. Thank you very much. That's one of my personal mottos that I'm publicizing to you all right now. The humanists, your own experience aside, have you encountered a fair amount of coercion in the adult film business? Nina Hartman. In 26 years of on-camera work, I've witnessed very few instances of coercion of performers on set and none of a physical nature. Compared to how workers may be quote-unquote coerced by superiors in non-sex work employment, I'd say that there are no more instances of this in adult entertainment than in the general population. For people with the right temperament, adult entertainment can be a great way to make a living. That's why I'm excited about being a porn actor and pornographer. Nice. I just love using synonyms for saying what I look forward to do is one of my favorite career choices. When I make synonyms and repetitions, you know that I'm motherfucking thrilled. which makes me motherfucking even killed. The work hours are flexible and the pay scale is excellent for semi-skilled labor, $300 to $1,500 a day. I'm just saying that that is eye-grabbing to me because when I read it, my eyes popped out of my chest for the better. Women have the right of refusal always and exercising. I applaud that. There's a stigma still attached to having quote unquote adult entertainment on one's resume, but that's a function of the culture's deep ambivalence toward women and sexuality. Plus projections of a potential employer onto those seeking to leave porn for a so-called straight job. I never experienced discrimination until I came out as a sex worker. Most of that had been from other educated women who identify as feminists. It's just, when I think about what she's saying regarding employment discrimination for adult entertainment, to me, how society treats sex workers and adult entertainers consists of moral corruption towards them as well as wickedness towards them. And women attacking other women, to me, that is both crooked and perverse. The humanist, specifically, would you say many women are not doing it purely by choice? Nina Hartley, absolutely not. Whether or not we agree with or approve of them, the choices made by young women are theirs. If we're to grant autonomy to people of the age of 18, then that means accepting their choices are valid, even if we'd never do such a thing. Logical to me. This includes being able to join the army and get shot or maimed or become a miner or construction worker. Those are deadly jobs. No one has died from making porn in the 37 years it's been legal. And no one thinks to tell a young adult, don't do that job, it's dangerous. Or if we do tell them, we accept that. Being young people, they may disregard our advice. If we accept that a young woman can consent to have an abortion or become a parent, then it stands to reason that we must accept that she can consent to make pornography. Of all the branches of sex work available, porn is the safest as it's legal to make, and we have an excellent testing program in place, aim-med.org. These are ambitious, competitive young people, strivers, if you will. Most are not college educated, nor do they plan to be. Porn is highly paid blue-collar labor for many performers, beats the hell out of wearing a paper hat. She said heck, but I hate substitute cursing. I like real cursing. That's why I said hell instead of heck. As entertainers, as well as simply being young people, performers have a high need for excitement and attention, and porn fits the bill. So my high need for excitement and attention is healthy instead of unhealthy, pertaining to me. Yes, I'm going to be an extraordinary adult entertainer, if you ask me, globally speaking. The humanist, what do you think could be done to improve the industry? Nina Hartley, the widespread notion that legal porn production is a sinkhole of abuse and coercion that takes advantage of poor innocent women is the biggest smack leveled against the business. Smack in this case means the obvious eight-letter word I said before, bullshit. It's almost entirely a function or a projection of people's fears and discomfort about women, gender relations, sex, sexuality, and the graphic depiction of sexual acts. She's spot on. The idea that a woman could choose on purpose to perform in pornographic videos for her own reason still goes deep against the notion that women are somehow victims of male sexuality, that they're delicate flowers who need the protection of a good man or the law. Nonsensical is the word that comes to mind when it comes to the male chauvinism in our society, the male sexism in our society, the female chauvinism, the female sexism, you know, those are all synonyms for one word, for two words. female misogyny. Those are all corrupting the souls and bodies of many others, even themselves. The best protection for women everywhere, especially in sex trades, is full decriminalization of all consensual sex work, which I'm for. Porn is legal to shoot in California. Good. We pay taxes by permits and the like. Also good. Any woman could pick up her phone and call her agent or the police to get full support if anything happens on a set. Sweet. My biggest complaint these days is how the anti-sex work can't pass for the purpose of public confusion, conflated legal consensual sex work, specifically pornography, with illegal non-consensual trafficking of women for forced labor, some of it of a sexual nature. Agree. There's no connection between the legal material we make here in California and any trafficking of women. Full stop. She raises easily rational points. Are there some directors or agents of less than stellar reputations? Of course, this is not a business of selfless do-gooders. Of course, the entire entertainment business is not run by selfless do-gooders. But the world can't be made a child safe day nursery. We either accept that performers are adults making their own choices, no matter how we may feel about those choices, or we go back to pre-women's liberation days where women couldn't get credit in their own names, obtain birth control without their husband's permission, or wear pants in the workplace. Do we really want those days back? I say hell to the motherfucking nah. Or hell no for short. N-I-N-H, the humanist. What type of books do you read in your spare time? What are some of your favorite books? Nina, I prefer nonfiction, usually science-related. Some of I enjoyed are The Soul of Sex, Thomas More, Harmful to Minors, Judith Levine and Jocelyn Elders, The Female Brain, Luann Brezendine, Outwitting History, Aaron Lansky, Some Girls, Jillian Lorne, Ain't Nobody's Business If You Do, The Absurdity of Consensual Crimes, The Free Society, Peter McWilliams, and interestingly, R. Crumbs, The Book of Genesis Illustrated. I do enjoy some fiction, especially the Golden Compass trilogy, Philip Pullman, most anything by Gregory Maguire, The Humanist. Have you read or followed any of the bestsellers written by new atheists such as Richard Dawkins, Christopher Hitchens, and Victor Stinger that take an overtly critical look at belief? Nina, I've read the books and liked them well enough. I'm not that angry at religion as I wasn't indoctrinated with it. I don't care for it or how other people's religious beliefs impact my life. The abortion debate, consensual adult sex, commerce, adult entertainment, recreational drug use, and so forth. Ooh, wait a minute. That means when it comes to the abortion debate, I am in favor of the right to a legal and safe and affordable abortion. I am for consensual adult sex commerce. I am for adult entertainment. I am for marijuana, recreational drug use, and so forth. But I don't harbor an abiding hatred of it, meaning religion. If I had been bullied by believers or harmed by the church, I might have stronger feelings. Humans. Ethics is a complicated subject since morality has changed over the centuries from outlawing slavery to allowing women to vote. There's a great difficulty in explaining morality. But how would you best sum up your ethics? Nina Hartman. I'm a secular humanist. I'm a believer in the golden rule. I'm not out to hurt anyone, but will defend myself if I need be. She's speaking my heart. I think most people are good at heart, though I do believe that some people are inherently bad, like sociopaths. She's been born that way, sometimes made so by circumstance. I go back and forth on inherently bad thing. But I can say that sometimes based on my circumstance, I can easily agree with that. Some people, it just feels like they're just born inherently bad at the same time. You know, I just hate the original sin concept, you know. I operate from this, but if they are born that way, I just hope that no divine figure has anything to do with it, that's all I can say. I operate from the assumption that people's motives are good if at times misguided until proven otherwise. I seek to enable people's growth and liberation, especially in the sexual realm. I love her thought patterns. I do. They're in line with my own. The humanists, in your industry, there are several well-known Christians and conservatives. What would you tell an outsider about the adult industry's religious and political demographics? Nina, most have been raised in Christian homes, though few are currently practicing. That's because most people in the United States are raised in Christian homes of some sort or another. A number of us are from Jewish homes, also non-practicing. Most people in the business have some conflict regarding their upbringing and behavior, as would be expected in such a conflicted culture. Humanist, is there any hypocrisy being a Christian of religious and working in the adult film industry? Nina, I would think so, but there are several people in the business who identify as Christian. I think making movies would violate the adultery prohibition, though one gets around it by saying that work is lust, not love, so it's okay. Convoluted thinking is nothing new in religion. The humanist, you have an open relationship with your husband. Several notable anti-Victorians had similar relationships or were opposed to marriage entirely. Some had lasting relationships and others don't. And others didn't. I agree with Nina that it is hypocritical to identify as a way of life that tells you not to do adult films, but you say that you are of this walk of life. And when it says conservatives, I'm like, wait a minute. If you're brought up by the religious right, but you're in adult films, it's like you have to drop conservative Christianity to be a porn star, because it's okay if you're not of the conservative Christian world. The ones who are part of that world, you can't do adult films and say that you believe that, because it says you can't. You have to pick one or the other. You can't have both. What do you want people to know about these relationships, Nina asks. Nina Hartley, open relationships are good for people who are not by personal nature monogamous. To be honest, I am not by personal nature monogamous myself. And Nina says, open relationships have their own challenges, of course, as well as their own satisfactions. Don't judge what you don't know. Truly open relationships aren't cheating, as all is above board. The humanists. Such relationships have been denounced as immoral by the same leaders of the religious political right who are the victims of scandals. Ted Haggard, John Ensign, Mark Sanford. What do you say to those who denounce it as immoral? Nina, stop being hypocritical jerks. Or as I want to say, stop being hypocritical assholes. Stop being hypocritical asswipes. I'm reminded of the adage of people living in glass houses. I don't lie about what I do or with whom I sleep or present myself some moral authority. Again, I concur with her. The humanist, what would most people be shocked to know about me? What's the biggest misconception people have? Nina, the biggest misconception is that I have sex all the time with anyone, that I'm immoral, that I must hate myself, that I'm unable to have a real relationship with a partner, that I'm rich, that I must be stuck up, that I'm an abuse survivor. And if she has sex all the time, don't judge her harshly. Sex with anyone, don't sex shame, don't slut shame, don't espouse rape culture. I'm saying that to society as a whole, and I'm immoral, that I must hate myself. None of those things are truthful anyway. And I'm unable to have a real relationship with a partner, even though it's true. Why be a Pharisee, right? That I'm rich, that I must be stuck up. An abuse survivor. Hey, even if you were rich, there's nothing wrong with that. Being an abuse survivor, like myself, yeah, I'm an abuse survivor, but my sexual abuse and all the other abuse is not why I want to be a part of the porn world. I'd be that way without the porn world. Being stuck up, and I was like, wow. Just, you know, bullying verdict is what I call them. They may be shocked to know I'm a doting aunt and a devoted daughter. Wow. So I would say for those who believe, you know, in the Christian conservative, you can believe in God, but I would say be spiritual but not religious if you decide to get to the adult film industry. By the way, I look forward to working in the adult film industry. See, I'm excited again. And I'm not a cheater. I don't, infidelity is not part of my makeup at all. And honestly, I'm a secular humanist myself. And I'm very much have a zeal for social justice. I do like the whole, one more thing, I don't know if I read this or not, but let me go back. Hey, humanist, I'm curious about your hobbies and education growing up. You mentioned that your grandfather had a PhD in physics. Were science and medicine an important part of your life? Both of my parents are science folks. My mother was a chemist and statistician for the State Department of Public Health. My dad has a good layman's understanding of science and biology. I loved all natural sciences. I wanted to be Jane Goodall when I grew up, especially like human biology and anatomy. I'm an art aim to BS in nursing. I love science to this day. I keep up with the latest advances in science and enjoys physics, biology, psychology, brain science, and more. Oh, wow. Okay, I did read that. Just wanted to make sure. I see this, and I just think about how I love to make it my business to move people. Now it says all the ways porn lie to you. Porn, the actual porn star. Some of what you see in pornography is simply fantasy, beginning with the super loud orgasms by Brittany Wong. April 25th, 2019, 9:21 p.m. East Coast time, updated April 30th, 2019. Everyone remembers the first time they encountered porn. Maybe it was a quick, covert Yahoo search that led you to a grainy, pixelated clip that took forever to load. Or maybe a friend's brother lent you a copy of Playboy, which you and your friends pressed around like a prized, definitely overused possession. For porn star Kelly Cabana, it was a copy of Penthouse magazine that lured her in, then some actual porn tapes. Like many of whose intro to sex is via porn, the Florida-born actress couldn't get over how easy the actors made it all look. The women are so beautiful in every position they did was completely perfect, she said. They even made blowjobs look easy. The women would swallow like they were eating the best ice cream on the planet. Now, after 10 years working in the adult film industry, Cabana can confirm that those performances are all pretty much a fluffer-filled fantasy. I could tell you I was lied to, she said. I have yet to see flawless, no stretch mark bodies, her skin is totally perfect. Same goes for those crazy Cirque du Soleil-esque sex positions. They just don't tend to happen in real life. To find out what else is exaggerating porn and what actually happens behind the scenes, we talked to Caban and other adult film stars. Here's what they had to say. One, huge penises are not the norm. The world average penis size is about 6 inches, but in porn, it's often up to 8 or 9. Funnily enough, I often forget that that's the case, and I'm almost surprised when I met a guy with an average penis size. The porn, even I could potentially feel inadequate, but I very quickly remind myself that the actors are often chosen for their large talents more than for their pretty faces or acting skills. I'm not sure how the general public feels about themselves if they only see very hung guys, but I hope they too remember that porn is simply a fantasy. Leo Ford, an adult film performer, has been in the industry for 6 years. Two, most women aren't as loud and screamy as they are in porn. Loud orgasms are definitely exaggerated. I haven't screamed, yelled, and put on a show since I was 18 and trying to mimic porn videos. No one is that loud and dramatic. Lindsay Lay, an adult film performer, has been in the industry for 11 years. Like I said, I look forward to being an adult film performer. And I would love to be an adult film actor. Okay, I'm just so excited. Let me get serious again. Three, anal sex is almost never spontaneous. There's a lot of prep that goes into doing an anal scene. No adult film actress wakes up one morning after and says, I'm going to do anal today. You have to literally change your diet if you haven't already. Take a mixture of laxatives and anti-diarrhea medication to clean you out and then stop your bowels from moving. You have to clean yourself out the day of the shoot, and most of all, prep yourself with lots of lube that the camera almost never shows. A lot of the porn that I watched makes it look like the couple just spontaneously decided to stick it in there. They didn't. The woman most likely had to prep the entire day before. Empress Snow, an adult film performer for 2 years. Four, not all gay porn stars are gay. Gay porn sometimes exaggerates the sexuality of the actors. A good amount of gay porn models are straight and use straight porn on set to get hard to perform. Oh, and the romance and connection angle you see in porn plots tends to be exaggerated in gay porn. Straight porn concept is marked as more rough than physical. That detail might be why gay porn attracts more female viewers than one would think. Pierce Paris, adult film performance been in the industry for 2 years. Five, acting in porn is exhausting work just like any job, and no porn stars aren't happy all the time. Porn actors spend hours in the same position to get the shot. You are sore after hours of filming, being on set is hot, and your makeup runs, and you get sweaty fast. Work long days and long hours filming to create a 15-minute clip of pure perfection. There are techniques to blow jobs that you learn. It's not just sucking on a lollipop. The time you spend shooting the same scene over and over truly does happen. You will go home with your jaw sore from sucking and using every inch of your tongue on the scene. But the funniest misconception is that porn stars are always horny and down to fuck. There are days you have no interest in sex. It does happen. If not careful, your partner will understand why either. We are real people with real lives just like everyone else. Kelly Cabana, an adult film performer, has been in the industry for 10 years. Six, big butts in porn usually aren't as big as they appear. A lot of people think you have to be very curvy to be in porn with a nice round ass. They say bum, but I think in this case, that substitute person, so I say ass. But nothing could be further from the truth. In fact, you're often encouraged to be as small as possible, let the camera do and do the rest. I personally find this is partially why you don't see as much BBW, big beautiful women porn being circulated online. It's a known fact that companies don't cast big women too often, which is despicable to me. With super wide angle lenses to stretch out your posterior, who needs a Brazilian butler? Who can just fake the ass you've always wanted? No surgery needed. The ankles captioned on smaller women are so damn good and seem out of this world. which is true in a way. Jade Jordan, an indie adult film performer, has been in the industry for 4 years. Seven, a lot of those crazy positions don't happen IRL, and extreme squirting is pretty rare too. In my 10 years of having sex before porn, I never once did the standing missionary where the woman has one leg on the ground and one leg over the man's shoulders. Pile driver, reverse cowgirl. A lot of women squirt, but not all of them do like you see in your typical squirting scene where a girl squirt from the bed to cross the hallway into another woman's mouth. Where women are squirt from the bed to cross the hallway into another woman's mouth. I love the absurdity of most scenarios, though. Porn in this fantasy world where all your sister's hot friends are always DTF down to fuck, and so are the women at work, college, and the beach. Everybody gets laid with me, right? Adult film performers been in the business for 2.5 years. Everybody gets laid. Everybody gets laid. Oftentimes, porn is the only interaction people have with trans women, so they try to pick up cues about how to treat trans women in real life. When even a progressive site like kink.com uses terms like TS pussy hunters or TS seduction, it feeds into the bathroom predator stereotypes of trans women who want to try or seduce any cis men and hunt for cis women for partners. There's a place for that kind of porn, but when representation is limited, stereotypes get perpetuated. Chelsea Poe, a porn filmmaker and performer, has been in the adult industry roughly 7 years. 9, porn stars aren't just naturally blessed with those bodies. Nope, our bodies aren't perfect and ripped all the time. Most male talent use gym enhancements and spend most of their free time in the gym. Luck Longley, an indie porn producer and actor, has been in the industry since 2003. Oh, so I want to be, the language means I want to be a porn producer, as well as a porn manager, or do other things, wouldn't happen anymore. 9, porn stars aren't just naturally blessed with those bodies. Nope, our bodies aren't perfect and ripped. Okay, I did that before. I'm done. I'm not. So where did I leave off? I think I left off with number 6. If I repeat myself again, just know that I truly enjoy podcasting. Number 6, big butts in porn usually aren't as big as they appear. A lot of people think you have to be very curvy to be in porn. With a nice round ass, I don't say bum, B-U-M, but nothing could be further from the truth. In fact, you're often encouraged to be as small as possible and let the camera do the rest. I personally feel this is partially why you don't see as much BBW, big beautiful women porn, being circulated online. It's a known fact that companies don't cast big women too often. With super wide angle lenses to stretch out your posterior, who needs a Brazilian butt lift? You can just fake the ass you've always wanted. No surgery needed. The angles captured on smaller women are so damn good and seem out of this world, which is true in a way. Jade Jordan, an indie adult film performer who's been in the industry for 4 years. Number 7, a lot of these crazy positions don't happen IRL, and extreme squirting is pretty rare too. In my 10 years of having sex before porn, I never once did the standing missionary where the woman has one leg on the ground and one leg over the guy's shoulder. Pile driver or reverse cowgirl. A lot of women squirt, but not all of them do like you see in your typical squirting scene where women squirt from the bed to across the hallway into another woman's mouth. I love the absurdity of most scenarios, though.
porn is this fantasy world where all your sister's hot friends are always down to fuck. DTF, and so are the women at work, college, and the beach. Everybody gets laid. Everybody gets laid. Everybody gets laid. Whitney Wright, an adult film performer, has been in the business for 2.5 years. Number 8. 8. Off-screen trans adult entertainers aren't necessarily as dominant as they appear in porn. As a trans woman of color, I'm usually playing the police officer or the dominatrix out to chain you up and have my way with you. I was the woman on top. I remember one of my honeybees, my fans, saying that I'm taking over the world one ass at a time. In reality, my life is the complete opposite. I'm a shy, introverted person with serious social anxiety. My sex life outside of the industry couldn't be further from my character. I'm totally submissive and prefer to be on bottom. Yet that just doesn't sell in the trans industry. They expect the women to be dominant for a woman that can get hard and come. When you're on hormones, though, that can be nearly impossible. Unfortunately, for most trans women, that can be the make or break point in the business. Amaya Jade, formerly known as Honey Fos, FOXXX, a photographer who was an adult entertainer for 11 years. Oftentimes, porn is the only interaction people have with trans women, so they try to pick up cues about how to treat trans women in real life. When even a progressive site like kink.com uses terms like TS pussy hunters or TS seduction in quotations, it feeds into the bathroom predator stereotype of types of trans women who want to trick or seduce any cis man and hunt for cis women for partners. There's a place for that kind of porn, but when representation is limited, stereotypes get perpetuated. Chelsea Poe, a porn filmmaker and performer, has been in the adult industry for roughly 7 years. 9. Porn stars aren't just naturally blessed with those bodies. Nope, our bodies aren't perfect and ripped all the time. Most male talent use gym enhancements and spend most of their free time in the gym. Luke Longley, an indie porn producer and actor, has been in the industry since 2003. 10. Not all porn is over the top, and not all of it objectifies women. In the same way that we don't live our day-to-day lives in a fantasy film like Harry Potter or The Avengers, we also don't have sex in the way we see depicted in a fantastical porn. There's also a lot of porn to choose from. As with any media, if you feel like the films you are watching are sexist or oppressive or not inspiring or exciting or something that you're connecting with, then change the channel, document your own experiences, pick up the camera, seek ethical, feminist, sex-positive media, porn or otherwise, purchase feminist porn and media, and vote with your dollar. There's a rich plethora of erotic films that are being created by powerhouse feminist filmmakers. They're taking control of the narrative, modeling safer sex, communication, negotiation, active and enthusiastic consent, and body positivity. Madison Young authored the DIY Porn Handbook, documenting our own sexual revolution, and a feminist pornographer and performer of 17 years. 11. Lastly, those crazy cum shots can definitely be exaggerated. I have seen multiple companies use little syringes and a long tube filled with fake cum lube, like spunk lube. Then when it comes time to film the magic shot, they have someone controlling the syringe squirt it out. Sometimes it takes a few tries. Aubrey Kate, an adult film performer. This is what I will I'll say. They're talking about mainstream porn when they say the Source and all the other things. And that doesn't mean that it's not worth knowing. It just means that it has been brought to my attention of the fact, choose my words carefully. When it comes to the hours, maybe they should be done in a way that nobody's sore. Maybe if they cut down on the time, you can have less soaring over time. And to the point where you're not soaring, I can see why it could take a while to film something very juicy. But at the same time, I don't think porn companies should try to be perfect, because if pure perfection is causing physical pain, maybe potentially internal pain, then just try to be, just aim to be holistic. If you aim to be holistic and not perfect, then that will attract more viewers who are okay with wholeness instead of flawlessness. So I think what porn companies, mainstream, should do, including ethical ones, is aim to be holistic. Don't aim to be without flaws. Because people need to see their imperfections on screen so they'll feel at peace with them off screen. Because what I'm concerned about is human rights violations and harm being experienced. And so those things are deeply concerning to me. Okay, so I want to now talk about this other thing that's happening. Porn Stars Are People First, August 24th, 2018 by Taylor Sarakin. I've been working in the adult entertainment industry for approximately 5 months. In that short period, I've learned more about boundary issues, detrimental decision-making, and pervasive obliviousness than I did after earning my Bachelor's of Science in Applied Developmental Psychology. Patched into behavior I'm referencing is that of the models, people who choose to have sex on camera and have a career based on displaying the intimate parts of their bodies. It's hot. It's not. I'm sorry. It's not. Ooh, I butchered that one. It's not. My coworkers are dynamic and inspiring human beings who have issues like the rest of us, but do their best to achieve success in their lives. They're smart and business savvy, driven and ambitious. They have so much to say, but too few people are listening. It isn't lost on me that the models I work with are gorgeous and teeming with sex appeal, and that the level of charisma can be distracting. But the good thing about being human is most of us possess the ability to temper our impulses and act in a way that generally meets society's expectations. I understand that cultural variances dictate differences in these matters, but it is a globally accepted standard that touching someone when they did not actually touch and making crude comments to strangers is not appropriate. Wow. Just the reality. Dagger in the heart in terms of the disturbing trends that the human condition wants to exact, wants to produce. Too often adult entertainers are not afforded this level of reverence. I'm not obtuse. I understand that work that is sexually explicit in nature may make the separation between the person and their career confusing for viewers. The on-screen intimacy breeds familiarity. Viewers need to understand that the performer is not familiar with you. Any ownership or closeness one feels to a model they haven't met ceases to exist when the browser is closed or the television is shut off. The most they owe the viewer is a good show and possibly an orgasm. The least the viewer owes the model is respect. I'm not a prude. Dirty talk doesn't shock me because I write it for a living. What does shock me is when people have the gall to say those things to an absolute stranger's face after simply shaking their hand. That instead of complimenting their body of work, they brazenly comment on their body. There's a big difference between "you're so hot, I'm a huge fan of your scenes," and "fuck, your dick is perfect. I love watching you go balls deep in some twink's hole." I had to take a breather on that one. I spent 6 weekends touring the country with Blake Mitchell promoting our novel, His Own Way Out. For the most part, he was treated with respect and the purposes of his appearances were understood. There were moments, however, when my friend was treated like a slab of meat, when people made the decision not to listen to the important words he spoke and opted to speak nasty ones of their own. Blake was largely unfazed, used to that type of behavior, and I was angry because it shouldn't be such a common occurrence for him. I'm not saying people who encounter Blake or other adult entertainers should be prim and proper. I'm just suggesting that if someone feels compelled to flirt, they do so in the same way they would if they met a stranger in the grocery store. The fact that people find it acceptable to grope or touch someone without their permission is foreign. Being a porn star is not implicit consent for unwanted touches. They get paid to be touched in scenes and have the autonomy to make decisions based on their levels of comfort. The random predator at Pride who places his hand on a young man's penis is not a part of that equation. His actions are unlawful and creepy. Porn stars are not sex toys. They are blood and guts humans with boyfriends, husbands, mothers, brothers, wives, all kinds of partners, all kinds of relationships, etc. They are not yours. They are not yours. I repeat. The lack of respect seeps into casual portions of the models' lives as well. While many models post explicit content on their social media, and have fun playing with fans' response, context is everything. If the post is clearly not sexual, why should the responses be? It's strange to sexualize the most mundane statements, and it's even more awkward to bring the models' personal lives into their profession. Fans crave camaraderie with their favorites and love to learn as much as they can about them. Porn stars should be relegated to strictly explicit posts, especially if they feel comfortable sharing more about lives with the people who support them. That being said, friends, boyfriends, girlfriends, family members, whoever they're, all kinds of partners, all kinds of relationships, etc., aren't open season. Many times their affiliation with their loved one is their only connection to the adult entertainment industry. Some people see those in porn as porn stars before people, but their people see them as the person they love. Cameron Parks was in a public relationship that he's proudly shared with fans. Tell me that the constant questions his boyfriend feels regarding a possible future in porn are exhausting. If I were a singer, nobody would automatically assume my boyfriend was a singer too. They wouldn't ask him all the time when he's going to start his own music career. Every aspect of my life doesn't center around porn. It's my job. That's it. A job. Porn is a job. Porn stars are people who do a job, and though it may be intimate work, it's still work. Their job is to film sex, not to allow themselves to be mistreated by people who can't differentiate between their public persona and the private person. All the guys I know are extremely grateful for their fans and love to interact with them as much as possible. There's no denying their careers would suffer if it weren't for the fervent fan base who love to support them. In all honesty, over the past several months, I've noticed that a lot of the offenders aren't fans. Instead, they're people who have somehow worked their way into the models' lives to gain some sort of favor. I'm not sure what their end goal is, but they are rarely discreet in their hunger, and often they end up starved of the attention they crave. The models have grown accustomed to protecting themselves. I just wish they didn't have to. Wow, there's nothing for me to add. Wait, there's one thing I can add. The commenting on people's bodies, as well as the how we comment on people's bodies. And then I think about the viewing of people's bodies, how we view people's bodies. We have to end body shaming in terms of verbalization, as well as facial expressions, because when we want somebody to shame our bodies in any kind of way, well, then why do we do that to adult entertainers? The golden rule is so powerful because if we would think about that in terms of every area of life and every decision we make, the
world would be much more peaceful than it is right now. Those are things that we have to keep in our hearts. Okay. So let's talk about what we need to be talking about right now. All right, so MasterMindFitness.com. So by Elizabeth Young, 7 sex tips you can actually learn from porn according to an adult film star. Most of the time, porn can be a totally unrealistic representation of real world sex. For some practical porn sex ed, we went straight to the source, a woman who performs in porn. Let's face it, if you want to get real practical advice about enhancing your sex life, porn isn't the best place to get it. A lot of scenarios are ridiculous and made fun of, and for good reason, explains Leah Hart, an adult film star who focuses on body positive, queer, and kink pornography. But a lot of them can be really hot. I got the hot part right this time. Here's a link to her Twitter profile, which is probably not safe for work, NSFW. Kaya, KayaLinXX. There's a lot of inspiration you can take from porn, Hart says, but she stresses that there's no right or wrong when it comes to sex. It's important to remember that you make it your own. I would never encourage anyone to replicate what they see in porn because sex in porn isn't ideal sex. Sex can look like whatever you want it to look like. However, it's totally fine and awesome to draw inspiration from what you've seen. Here, she offers her advice on what you can learn from porn and what you should leave to the pros. Be advised, this advice is physical and direct, and it's most definitely for mature audiences only. Here it goes. Focus on foreplay, but don't treat it like a deleted scene. As Hart puts it, most of the porn you're seeing is very penis-centric. So if you're planning to get tips on pleasing the ladies, porn might not be the best source material. Most porn, Hart says, is just 2 minutes of foreplay and then we're just fucking now. That's not what a lot of people's bodies can do. What you're often missing is the behind-the-scenes aspects of porn production. Most studios don't show the process of getting lubed up, but there's so much involved to prepare that is deemed societally unsexy. That is super important, but it's not a real expectation. Hart stresses that many women need a lot more foreplay to get themselves warmed up for sex than what you see on screen. Bodies are very finicky sometimes, and some of them require a lot of preparation. They need different levels of care. A lot of people, especially people who don't have a lot of sexual experience, can look at porn and think, okay, this is how it's supposed to happen. It's not. So lay on the foreplay and listen to what she and her body are telling you. Don't expect to become a marathon man. If sex were like porn, all men could keep it up for hours through multiple scenes and positions. That's not even remotely close to reality. People, especially dudes, think that going into porn is a really easy job, Hart says. It's actually really difficult physically. That level of sexual endurance is normalized in porn, but it's important not to hold yourself up to those standards, she says. Having sex like a porn star might sound like a worthy goal, but it's impractical and it's not what women are looking for. Male porn performers are held to very stringent expectations when it comes to keeping themselves hard for long amounts of time. Unless a woman has learned everything she knows about sex from porn as well, she's not expecting that from you, so don't psych yourself out. Of course, if you're actually having problems with premature ejaculation, here's some practical advice about how to last longer in bed. So it's menfitness.com, sex tips, last longer in bed, sex experts tell you tell you how. Okay, let me get back. And suggestions on improving your stamina during sex, that's on MensFitness.com too, if you want to take a look. Make it about her. If you want to use porn for sexual education, you need to change up your source material.
There's been a rise in many porn studios that cater to female-friendly porn that produce body-positive feminist films. These films focus more on oral sex or fingering, anything that's not as penis-centric, which is really great to watch, Hart explains. You get this idea drilled into your head that penis and vagina is what normal sex looks like, but it could be so much more. There's such a wide breadth of things that derive sexual pleasure. So if you're looking for practical inspiration, turn to pornography that's produced by women, for women, and you'll get a better idea of the variety of ways you can please a woman. Communicate what you want in bed. Another thing you're missing when you watch porn is the discussion that goes into producing a scene. Scenes are designed to look like the performers have gotten caught up in the moment, but everything is planned, scripted in time to ensure they're getting the shots they need when they need them. The kind of script requires performers to be very communicative with each other about what they want, Hart says. Communication is so key and super underrated, Hart says. You should be able to say to your partner, I like this done to me, or this is the type of foreplay my body likes. That's something I've learned to become very good at because there's a lot of negotiation that happens on set before shooting. That includes a discussion about what you want in your role play repertoire. Communication can look like a really hot and steamy conversation before sex, Hart says. It doesn't have to be clinical. For me, there's nothing hotter than someone than him. Get too excited now. For me, there's nothing hotter than hearing someone ask me, would you like me to do XYZ to you? 5, create a safe environment to experiment and role play. One of my favorite parts of my job is that working in porn is a great way to safely explore some of the things that you would never be able to find in your personal life, Hart says. But on a more practical note, she's also had the opportunity to discover aspects of her sexuality that she didn't know she would like. I haven't done any anal in my personal life, and I discovered it in porn. There's definitely a lot of hesitation there, but the porn community is so great because they'll talk so openly, so transparently about things that a lot of people are embarrassed or shy to talk about, and it ended up being a really great experience for me. She encourages couples to explore fantasy scenarios that come up in porn to inspire their own experiences. Not everyone's into role play, but porn is a great place to draw role play inspiration because producers are constantly under pressure to think of new and original scenarios, and sometimes some really creative stuff comes out, Hart says. 6, create and respect boundaries. While exploration is encouraged, it's okay to draw a line as well. There's definitely a difference between the things that I like and turn me on that I do in my personal life and the things that I could pretend turn me on in porn, Hart admits. For example, a lot of women, I think, feel pressured to like facials because you see so many facials in porn with a lot of women who look really pleased about it, she says. I've met people who do get turned on by it, but I'm not one of them. She explains that just because you see something normalized in porn doesn't mean you're failing sexually because you're not into it. And just because she does like something in her personal life doesn't mean that all men or women should as well. Anal is another thing that is extremely poorly represented in porn. A lot of people think it's just, okay, well, I can just stick my dick, penis, cock, and this person's ass and it'll be fine. But she explains the amount of warm-up required for anal is severely underestimated. It's also not for all bodies. Some people just don't like it, and no matter how many times they try, it's just not for them, and that's okay. Always play it safe in bed and with STI testing. Safe and STD testing, too. Safety and consent are sexy, Hart says. I'm a big advocate for destigmatizing asking about things that may feel a little embarrassing to talk about because a lot of the times they don't end up being embarrassing. Furthermore, it's a sign of professionalism. I cannot emphasize how important it is to ask for someone's consent, and it can be turned into dirty talk or foreplay. If you're feeling hesitant about asking a partner, for instance, I'd like to try anal or I'd like to try this toy, you can incorporate that into a foreplay conversation, Hart suggests. There's a culture around feeling like asking for consent is unsexy and clinical and hard to talk about, but I know that a lot of people, especially women, feel a lot more comfortable and feel really good about their partner when they know they're checking in on them. She adds, do you like this or do you want me to keep going? That could be really hot. Hart is also a big proponent of safe sex practices in the porn industry. We're very stringent in terms of STI testing and STD testing too. We get tested for everything every 2 weeks. That's not something that non-sex workers would have to worry about, but it's definitely important to always know your status and make sure that you're getting tested twice a year is ideal for most people. So I'm going to read the other articles because I know that y'all may have more questions about, okay, how do I last longer in bed? How do I improve my stamina during sex? And
you know, everything you need to know about anal sex with my girlfriend. So I'm gonna read those now. Let's get it all off the table now. Muscle and fitness. Everything you need to know before trying anal sex with your girlfriend. Done right, going in from behind doesn't have to be a weird test of your limits or hers. Here's a total beginner's guide from our panel of experts by Men's Fitness Editors. My girlfriend is interested in trying anal sex. Do you have any tips for how to start out? Also, I get the part about doing it to her, but if I let her do it to me and I like it, should I question my sexuality? Les R. New Orleans, LA. Dr. Nelson. If you're both open to anal sex, start in the spoon position, both lying on your sides with you behind her. Using lots of lube, slowly and gently stimulate the area with your fingers. You kiss her neck and whisper sweet, sexy things. When you're both stimulated, try entering her slowly but not deeply, then let her control the depth, D-E-P-T-H. Never go too fast or deep without warming her up. To the idea first. If you or she can also stimulate her clitoris with a vibrator, then that can help with her arousal. Done right, anal sex doesn't have to hurt. Start slow, work up to it, communicate. Dr. Aaron. First, anal sex has nothing to do with being gay. Homosexuality is an attraction to the same sex, not a bunch of sex techniques aimed at the anus. Many hetero men engage in anal play and many gay men don't. For you, I suggest starting out slowly with your girlfriend using lube in her finger. Be sure her nails are trimmed. She can make a come hither motion to stimulate the prostate, which many men enjoy. Then if you like, you can ramp up to other objects like a small starter dildo made for beginners. Professional advice can be useful for eroticism. Now, muscle and fitness. How to improve your stamina during sex. Our sex relationship expert answers your most pressing questions by Amber Madison. How can I last longer besides replaying horror film scenes in my head? Joshua C., Baltimore, Maryland. Clearly, having to think non-sexy thoughts in the middle of sex is not an ideal way to enjoy the experience. And frankly, neither is freaking out about finishing too soon. A better idea is to slow down or even stop. If you feel yourself getting too close, pull out and just focus on pleasing until you calm yourself enough to start again. You can also, quote unquote, practice on your own by masturbating and then stopping for a minute or so as you get close. Give yourself a moment to recover and start again, stopping another few times before you finally finish. Doing this will help train your body to be able to get close but not come immediately. Do remember, however, that while it's important to last long enough for your girlfriend to finish, she doesn't necessarily want you to last forever, so don't overdo it. All right, so let's get to how to last longer in bed. 9 ways to last longer in bed. It's not fun for her and embarrassing for you when it all ends too early. So we got top sexologists to reveal the best secrets to prolong sex by Aaron Steves and Men's Fitness Editors. For most guys, the bedroom is probably the one place you don't want to finish first. Sex experts and we assume you agree that nothing makes a guy feel more insecure and coming up short when it matters most. So if you're plagued by this sexual shortcoming, relax. There are numerous ways to boost your sexual endurance and last longer in bed. All men have their own extending technique, from thinking about football or baseball or counting backwards in their head, says A.L. Harper, a sex expert and former editor of a UK-based men's magazine. However, these distraction techniques can end up making guys worse in bed because they aren't paying attention to their partner's pleasure. If you're curious to find out the real ways to last longer so you don't kill the mood for the both of you, check out these tips. We asked three top industry experts to share the advice they give their clients, no Viagra required. 1, study the Kama Sutra. There's a technique mentioned in the Kama Sutra for delaying ejaculations that basically comes down to training yourself to last longer, says Harper. Start slowly with no more than one, quote unquote, in/out stroke every 3 seconds. Then add more strokes slowly over the course of 4 or 5 minutes until you're moving 1 stroke per second. If you start to feel like you're going to come, stop and quote unquote hold yourself inside your partner until you feel in control again, then begin the whole process again. 2, get out of your head. Performance anxiety is the number one killer of erection, says Patty Britton, a board certified clinical sexologist. Shift your thinking to a more confident inner voice as opposed to a worried voice. A self-debilitating mindset is what shuts guys down, she explains. When you begin to feel anxiety, stop, take a breath, and get out of your head, focusing instead on the feelings your body is producing for you. 3, slow down. Instead of the fast-paced, jackhammering style that many men are so fond of, try taking your time, says Toyuka. Sex at a slower pace leads to a more connected experience for both people. It's more centered because you're caressing and exploring the rest of her body. Kiss her neck, nuzzle her ear, let your hands gently explore her body, she says. The most important thing to keep in mind that will help you last longer, enjoy the journey that leads to your destination. 4, use a duration spray. If you're still struggling to last longer, consider using a delay spray like KY Duration. It's an endurance enhancer that desensitizes the nerves in your penis with as little as 3 sprays and as many as 10. Relax, it's not like Novocaine. The active ingredient in Lidocaine, which has been proven safe and effective by the FDA, you'll still enjoy sensations too. Think of this as your key to turning a manic sprint into an immensely gratifying marathon. 5, try a different kind of exercise. Dr. Brent suggests exercising the PC muscles or pubocygeus muscle. If we're being technical, they're the ones that stretch from your pubic to tailbone. To figure out how to squeeze and contract them, try stopping your urine flow while in the middle of peeing or pissing, if you will, or urinating, if you will. You'll know it when you try it. 3 sets of 15 reps per day should do the trick. Daily PC muscles reps helps a guy to literally pump himself up. Squeezing those muscles triggers good blood flow to the penis, which in turn leads to mental confidence, she says. 6, practice the 7 and 9 method. Like the Kama Sutra method mentioned number 1 above, Harper recommends the 7 and 9 technique. It's 7 fast in/out strokes followed by 9/slow in/out strokes. Then repeat 7 fast, 9 slow, 7 fast, 9 slow, she says. This rhythm is good for guys who don't last quite as long as their partner needs, and good for the ladies as it establishes a good rhythm for her stimulation too. And lastly, 7, don't go deep. If you feel that continued deep thrusting will bring on an all too quick orgasm, try penetrating only the lower portion of her vagina. In other words, take more shallow thrusts, says Toyuka. Also, alternating between shallow and deep thrusts can make you last longer. It will also make the experience a lot more fun. 8, squeeze. Britton recommends you explore the squeeze technique. There are 3 areas of the penis where squeezing or applying pressure can help a man sustain and maintain an erection. For the first, make a tight ring with an index finger and thumb around the base of the shaft when it is erect, simulating a penile ring. It can help a man keep blood flow to the engorged penis. The second, apply pressure on the underside of the head. That's a male hot spot densely packed with nerves, Britt says. Finally, pressing on the perineum, or the spot between the anus and the base of the testicles, or balls, if you will. It will feel like the tip of the nose. If he presses with his finger, it will congest the flow of ejaculate and help quell the early release of the erection. Lastly, for this one, nice this time, 9, change things up. The best thing to do is, if you're getting close to the edge, alter your speed, advises human sexuality expert Catherine Chayuka, the founder of Catherine Coach's Sex Workshops. Try teasing her, she suggests. Take your penis out and rub just ahead of it, sensually up and down between her labia. Vaginas have lots of nerve endings clustered in the lower portion of their vaginal canal, so this move will still be very enjoyable for her to experience. I'm just very proud of myself for talking honestly about these things, for sure. All right, now, so This should be the last article. Four porn stars how they stay fit by Cheryl Wishover, January 31st, 2014. Anytime a woman makes a living using her body, people are inevitably fascinated by what she eats and how she works out. Just read pretty much any article written by Victoria's Secret models. This is written by Cheryl Wishover. Okay, I said her name. I'm completely guilty of this type of scrutiny of my fellow womankind, but I never really considered porn stars' physical characteristics in this way. And last week, Gabrielle Union appeared on Conan O'Brien's show and told him that the porn stars she sees work out at her gym, she recognizes them, wink, wink, inspire her to work out harder. She even follows them to the juice bar to copy their vegan food ordering ways. I'm on the porn diet, she proclaimed. It was a funny quip, and it got Union a lot of attention. But then I started really thinking about it. Absolutely nothing is left to the imagination in porn, and you see every inch of these women's naked bodies, often in positions that aren't so flattering. The assumption that have been plenty of ex-porn star memoirs to fuel this is often that drugs are prevalent in the industry and everyone stays fit by having coke-filled orgies and plastic surgery. This could very well be the case, but the fact that some porn stars are working out at Gabrielle Union's undoubtedly upscale LA gym aroused, my curiosity about these mystical creatures / caricatures of her sarcasm. How does a porn star stay in shape? I tracked down four adult film actresses, Dana DeArmond, 34, Asa Akira, 29, Chanel Preston, 28, and Jesse Andrews, 21. Task. Surprisingly, their routines are more goop than 50 Shades of Grey, well, except for their descriptions of which sexual positions are the most difficult and calorie burning. Hint, try a strap-on. Read on to hear their fascinating conversations about body image issues, their conflicts with food, and the pressures they experience working in the porn industry. Dana DeArmond, their workouts. Dana, I was doing the bare method for a little over a year, and then I decided to not go. I was really strong, but also kind of bulked up a little bit. Not working out doesn't make that much difference for me because I'm tall. Shorter models maybe have to work a little bit harder to hide flaws because a pound or five looks like a lot. If I gain 5 pounds, it looks great. Asa, I like to work out 7 days, but I try to force myself to take a day off. I've been going to Barry's boot camp for 3 or 4 years now. And then the other days I'll do yoga. I've tried everything. Working out is definitely addictive. I think there are a lot of people who are addicted to drugs and people addicted to alcohol and porn. When they get sober, it carries into the working out thing. It's a different addiction. Chanel, I do work out, but I wouldn't say regularly. I've been active for most of my life, so it's easy for me to maintain my body. Now that I'm in LA, I hike with my girlfriend used to every week, and I do a lot of Pilates too. I purposely try not to do too much cardio work because I don't like to see really skinny women have sex, so I don't want to be that. Jesse, I do all sorts of workouts, mostly boot camp and hiking with some hot yoga in between. I love fun activities that don't necessarily feel like a workout, dodgeball, bowling, and carrying around shopping bags. Their diets, Dana. If I feel like I'm a little bit sluggish, I'll just cut back on bread. I eat a lot of meat, which I think is funny because Gabrielle thinks we're vegan. I can't even count how many times we've all freaked out over bacon. I split my meals with my boyfriend most of the time. I have something that is delicious, but only eat half of it. I don't really eat fast food or overly processed food. The food on set is a nightmare. They lay out cookies or they order the pizza. I'm just like, no, get it away from me. And I don't drink or take drugs. Asa, I'm hungry all the time. I'll eat a lot of salad with no dressing. I'll binge once a week and I binge really hard. I'll definitely have a pizza. I mean, a whole large pizza or two myself, or a lot of Thai food, and I love Chipotle. Chanel, I don't like to diet. I just don't believe in it, but I also don't eat like shit. I try to stay away from fast food. In the past few months, I actually cut gluten out of my diet, which makes a huge difference for me. I'll probably stick to that because it enables me to basically not worry about what I eat. Jesse, my diet used to be a complete mess. Drinking ice soy chais from Starbucks 3 times a day and eating maybe 1 meal a day. Now I've committed to eating healthier. No bread, milk, or McDonald's. I probably have a kale once a day with either fish, steak, or chicken. I've been juicing a lot too. My favorite splurge right now is Justin's organic milk chocolate peanut butter cups frozen. Jesse Andrews. The sex moves that gives them a workout. Dana, a lot of people complain about doing the reverse cowgirl position because you're up top and you have to hold yourself up with your arms kind of like a crab. You have to use your thigh muscles a lot. yesterday I worked on a site called footworship.com. It's a lot of foot jogging, stroking dicks with your feet. It's a core workout because you're basically doing a reverse crunch most of the time. My shoulders are really strong from doing scenes. Asa, I think posing for photos is a good core workout just because you have to hold every position for so long. The stronger your core is, the easier that becomes. Reverse cowgirl is basically doing squats. If you worked out your legs that day to do reverse cowgirl is like torture. So I try to get out of that as much as I can. The kind of scene that is a real workout is when I wear a strap on. That's a lot of leg work. Janelle, any scene is going to be difficult physically, even a fairly easy scene. You're sometimes having sex on strange objects that are hard for you to stand on, so you're holding yourself up by one foot. People don't understand how hard we work to keep those positions going. A lot of women do dom scenes, domination. The role reversals where we have strap-ons. We're basically taking on the male role, and we're having to squat and do a lot of activity to be in charge. And I know it sounds stupid, but I have a huge suitcase I bring to work every day. That thing is so heavy. Most of the time we bring our own wardrobe. I'm hauling that big thing everywhere I go. Jesse, the amount of work that you do all depends on what kind of performer you are. If you're a new woman in the business, you might just lay there and let the guy do all the work. If you're a proper award-winning performer, you're probably doing all the work. Reverse cowgirl is the most physically demanding. No doubt. Imagine pulsing in a squat for 5 minutes straight. You really want to collapse after that, but it's also my favorite in terms of positions because you get the best workout. And lastly, for this article, Chanel pressing their body images. Dana, people do like softer figures, so it's not like you have to be a bodybuilder or anything. Alexis Texas is one of the most popular women, and she's got a giant butt, and she's very curvy. I'm a size 2 of 5'8 and about 125 pounds. I've been curvy up to 140 maybe. So many people have said I'm too skinny or they're worried about me, and I totally cop to this. I had some lip love before I was 30. It really helped just smooth everything out. I don't want to portray unrealistic body image. For porn, I am natural. I don't have a fake ass or fake tits, but if anybody wants to do anything to tweak their look, I think they should go for it. After seeing a million pictures taken of yourself, you see that one thing you don't like and then go and fix it. I don't want anybody to think I'm unhealthy or anything, but I have a standard for myself. I'm really proud that I'm 34 and I look so fucking awesome. Asa. It's my personal belief that every woman in porn, after you've been in a certain amount of time, all have a certain level of body dysmorphic disorders because we see our own body so much. What I've learned in porn, no matter what your body looks like, someone's going to like that and someone's going to hate it. You can never win, but you can also kind of never lose. I just did this thing called Cool Sculpt. Yeah, I did my waist. It's kind of a vacuum machine. It freezes the fat cells. In the course of the next 9 weeks, the fat cells die and you pee them out. People have noticed. It's minor, but I want to do it again. I've never had lipo. I've had my boobs or titties done, so I'm totally not against plastic surgery at all. I'm like, if you can make it better, why not? But that's always a slippery slope. I see a lot of women coming into the industry looking amazing. They fix one little thing and then they just get addicted. The next year they look like a different person, like a freak show. Chanel, I never felt pressure because of the industry, but I did see pictures of me when I first started shooting. I told myself that I wanted to look better on camera. It really does add an extra 15 pounds. To be honest, there are so many pros and cons in the industry about weight. Some companies might like you thicker, some companies might like you anorexic skinny. You can never please everyone. You just have to be yourself and go with what makes you happy and feel good. Sherelle's a former nurse practitioner who now writes about beauty, health, fitness, and fashion. Follow her on Twitter, Sherelle Ann NY. It's a Twitter handle. CHERYLANNENY. So the C, the A, and why are capital. Everything else is lowercase. I just love when I'm learning. I'm really educating myself. And I'm thankful for that. So, let's hear from a male perspective. All right. Menshealth.com, 6 porn stars tell us how they stay fit for the camera. Porn stars have it rough. In addition to having to contort their bodies into uncomfortable positions to have sex for hours on end, they also must ensure their bodies are in peak physical condition. Like the rest of us, we have the luxury of hiding our flaws behind our clothing. No jingle or love handle is safe from the watchful eye of a Pornhub viewer, especially following the rise of 4K porn. Kelly Bravaca, adult performer, physique model, licensed personal trainer, bodybuilder, and wrestler, says porn stars are increasingly approaching her for help with their fitness routines and nutrition plans. People know they can't be out of shape to shoot, says Bravaca. A lot of people are taking their diets and workouts more seriously. We're living in a new era where porn stars are focused more on healthy lifestyle and fitness goals. So exactly how do porn stars stay fit? Went to the Flex with the Stars panel at the Adult Entertainment Expo in Las Vegas and spoke to different stars to find out. Traditionally, there has been a ton of pressure on straight male porn stars to stay fit, which explains how guys like Ron Jeremy managed to have careers, but that's no longer the case. Porn star moderator Derek Pierce said at the panel, the face of adult in general has changed, says Pierce at the panel. For the guys, soft bodies have gone by the wayside. Porn star Ryan Driller agrees. Now that the industry is more focused on aesthetics, you've got guys coming in who are more built, says Driller, who's famously got buffed to play Superman in a series of porn parodies. Women are watching more porn, and they would rather see a guy who's a little more appealing than a slobby guy who's sitting on the couch all day long who doesn't have his belly hanging over the woman. Nonetheless, Driller says, both male and female performers have to strike a delicate balance between looking fit and toned to having too many abs, too many muscles. There's also heightened pressure for performers in other areas of the industry to maintain a certain body type. There's more pressure on the gay side to be super fit, says Driller, who has shot both gay and straight porn. But in general, there's more pressure in the gay community to be super fit. Gay porn performer Wesley Woods agrees. He says that directors have asked him numerous times to either gain muscle or lose belly fat. On the straight side, it's not really about the male performance, it's about the woman, he says. For gay porn, it's two men, so it's obviously different. And our culture requires men to look fit and put together. While Woods tries to stay in shape by lifting weights 4 days a week, hiking 6 days a week at Runyon Canyon in Los Angeles, and maintaining a relatively healthy diet, he tries to be relaxed about his fitness regimen. My first year in the industry, I was trying to look a certain way, and I was chasing a goal that wasn't unattainable, he says. I've gotten really comfortable and happy with myself. He also had an added incentive for curbing his food intake on set as a gay performer. He can't really eat a lot, and we have to bottom, receive anal sex, he says while laughing. In addition to avoiding the craft services table, porn stars have come up with their own individualized diet and exercise plans to stay camera ready. I think having a strict vegetarian diet has helped my body be where I like it, says porn performer Brett Rossi. I'm a very active person. I've always been fairly lean, but at the ripe age of 28, I found that having a clean diet is just as important as how much you work out. That's why she works out 5 days a week, horseback riding and a favorite activity, and avoiding eating sugars and processed foods. To maintain his thin, muscular physique, male porn star Aaron Smallhands Thompson has a rigorous workout schedule and watches what he eats on a daily basis. I work out every single day for at least an hour, says Thompson. I don't do a ton of heavy machine gym guy lifting, but focus more on stamina and basic core fitness stuff, running, pull-ups, sit-ups, squats, stuff you can do from a hotel room, truck stop, and position, you know. In case you're wondering, yes, Thompson does in fact include sex as part of his workout. If I film a scene that's about 45 minutes of cardio, says Thompson, if it's not too late, I'll go to the gym after and do strength training since I banged out cardio already, pun intended. Driller also stays fit and lean by hiking in Runyon Canyon 6 days a week with his two dogs, which he alternates with running and swimming. I have a lift routine where it's chest one day, triceps one day, legs one day, shoulders one day, biceps one day, he says, but I don't lift 6 days a week. I usually run and lift 2 days, then swim one day, then repeat. When it comes to porn star fitness, there's no secret formula, sexy diet, or underground orgy gym class, just regular workouts for a somewhat irregular line of work. While the stakes might be different for performers depending on what kind of porn they shoot, the end game always remains the same. Look good, fuck better. Sorry, one more article. then I'll share the rest of my thoughts, just off the top of my head. So ShepherdExpress.com, Oscars of Porn recognized plus size poems by Laura Ann Stewart, NPH, January 22nd, 2014. On Saturday, January 18th, AVN Media Network held the 2014 AVN Awards Show at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. Dubbed the Oscars of Adult, the AVN Awards have highlighted industry insider picks for the best erotic films, performers, and products for the past 30 years. In 2014, the awards introduced the category BBW Performer of the Year, which was won by the legendary April Flores. http://www.fattyd.com, that's the actual website. BBW stands for Big Beautiful Woman, has long been used by dating sites, porn, and some fat activists, that's what they call themselves, as shorthand for unapologetically sexual women who fall outside the incredibly narrow range of body types that are considered quote-unquote attractive in mainstream U.S. culture. So why did it take until 2014 for AVN to recognize this category? I have mixed feelings about this new award category. On one hand, I'm glad that the most well-known adult industry awards are recognizing that larger women are sexy and sensual. On the other hand, this probably means that the best actress and female performer of the year categories will continue to be won by skinny people with preternaturally large boobs and slash or butts rather than people of diverse body types. That probably would have happened anyway. In this battle of recognition versus ghettoization, recognition may be an important first step. The week before the AVN Awards, I was talking to a student who was writing an essay about feminist porn that included a discussion of diverse body sizes as a hallmark of the genre. The student has shown some feminist porn featuring BBWs to friends to see their reactions and responses, which were mostly laughter or ridicule. I believe this reaction is in part defensive. We've been taught that there's only one type of attractive female body, and to show attraction, the other type is to deviate from social norms and risk being shamed. So what do? Laugh at fat bodies to distance ourselves from them? An award like the AVN BBW Performer of the Year demonstrates that there are lots of people who find fat ladies, that's what they describe themselves, to be super sexy. Explodes the myth that there is only one type of sexually attractive body, and hopefully leads to more authentic expressions of sexual desires. For the great discussion of the effect that myth has on us, read Zojane's recent column, "I'm fat, 40, and single, and I'm having no problems getting laid all the time." If you want more fat positive sexuality resources, check out my past columns on good sex positions for large people, new resources on fat sex. Wow. Oh, that URL doesn't work anymore for the recent column. Oh, may have to find on a different one. If not, it's okay. I'll get the point. So, I'm just glad that we can really get this out. But things can be discussed. So I'm really happy about the workouts, you know, as long as people aren't extreme in terms of their eating, working out, porn performing, and it's all good. And I really like how there's this, you don't have to have the perfect body, you just need a healthy, fit body. So don't give in to unreasonable checklists, societally speaking. I like that. And I appreciate the whole incorporating larger women to the porn world, because they need to win awards more, and we need to stop the whole thinness in foolishness, because quite frankly, it does pisses me off. And I do want to say that I appreciate the 7 sex tips you guys learn from porn, because I incorporate them to my personal life as well as my future porn career life. And the 9 ways last longer in bed, I do all the above. Porn stars are people, enough said, and you know, respect people's boundaries, and knowing truths as well as exaggerations from porn, those things I understand. Another thing I understand is doing the whole stamina thing and the anal sex thing that I read to you. I do all those things. And I just want to say that I've truly appreciated what I've said to you. And this is the part where I depart.